So hello, welcome everyone. You are on the Oral Hygiene 101, as I like to call it, teleclass. We're super excited to have you. This is the first time, actually, that we've done a class dedicated to this. I think it's going to be a great class. Just a little bit of background. As I mentioned before, this is being taped, so I will send you all a link. Please feel free to ask as many questions as you like. Also, I want to give you a little bit of background on our awesome sponsor of today's teleclass, and I can actually tell you that I met our expert today personally. She's awesome, and the company is awesome, and they have really great, great, great products. So just a little bit about them. So the mission of Baby Buddy is to help parents and caregivers embark on a journey to a healthy smile. As recommended by periodontists, you should be brushing baby's gums and teeth regularly to prevent further decay. We want to make the process as effortless as possible by providing a roadmap. And actually, we're going to talk a little bit about some of the products they have, but they help you do that with a stage-by-stage line of oral care. It's a program that kind of walks you through each stage of your child's development. So that's on their website, which is babybuddy.com. And when they're looking at the intention of their products, they really, really try to take into account developmental milestones and help forge positive, healthy habits that will continue into adolescence and beyond. So without further ado, let me introduce our awesome expert on today's teleclass, Marissa Salles. Did I say that right this time, Marissa?
You did. Marissa Salles. Hello, everyone. I'm very excited to be here. So
Marissa, tell us a little bit about your background. Tell us, you know, how you came into this. And also, just a little side note, you know, Marissa practices what she preaches. She just told me she has three little ones, so she knows all about this.
Yes, I do practice what I preach. So I began my oral care journey. I worked for the largest distributor for quite some years, so I have plenty of continuing education courses. While my children were developing, I have a 5-5 and a 4-year-old, so twin 5-year-olds and a 4-year-old. And I started to notice and began conversations with my clinicians, and I noticed that there wasn't someone really educating and forging proper oral care at an early stage. Unfortunately, sometimes that happens later on in life, and we are who we are by the age 6 or 7, so let's start early. So that's when I started to really look at the lines of oral care that are out there that were available to me from my distribution company. And when I came upon Baby Buddy, it was a match made in heaven, and I began to really be an evangelist for them, and it just made an easy transition to move over to Baby Buddy as an oral care consultant, as a mom, and as someone who's here to help you kind of walk you through the process and to help you kind of answer some questions and give you the confidence you need to move forward.
Awesome. All right, great. Let's get right into it then. So I think this is actually a really common question because, you know, when you have a little baby, they don't have teeth yet. So the, you know, question that many parents ask is, when does oral care begin?
Oral care begins actually with the gestation part. So we're making all these teeth and everything. So when we're born, most of our teeth are actually in our head, in our skull. So we want to begin that habit prenatal. We want to make sure mom or the gestation person is really taking care of her mouth, because we have bacteria that grows in our mouth, and all of everything we do goes to baby. So we want to start from us. Day baby is born, we want to begin to clean that mouth.
The day the baby's born, so even with an infant, which I know we'll get to, but that's interesting. I didn't even think that early. Marissa, can you hear me? Guys, can anybody hear me? Hold on, let me take you off. Let me take you off Q&A for a minute. Guys, can you guys hear me? As a host? Guys, can anybody hear me?
Yes. Yes.
Yes, you guys can, you can hear. You can hear me. Okay. So we just didn't hear Marissa. Marissa, you have to call back in, sweetie. You got dropped. But just to confirm, you guys, can someone say yes? You guys can hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. All right, I'm going to mute you guys again. Sorry about that. Okay, Marissa's calling back in. So it's so funny because I met Marissa at, I don't know if anybody was in New York. We had a Mother's Day party, and she, it's very hard at, I think, at a trade show to kind of stand out. And she was so adorable and so cute. Oh,
can you hear me?
Marissa, are you back?
Yes. I am back. I want to go ahead.
I was going to say, so Marissa, if it happens again, same thing. Everybody could still hear me, but for whatever reason, it's not happening technically on this end. It's something to do with where you're calling in from. If it happens again, just call right back in. Yep.
Okay. Perfect. So I want to continue the train of thought.
Yeah, prenatal.
So baby is born. So, well, let's start with prenatal. So pregnant women, usually because we're swollen and things like that, what ends up happening is that we have swollen gums. Usually what swollen gums ends up happening, it's called, some people have heard, it's called pregnancy gingivitis or periodontal disease. That is actually giving us pockets, larger pockets, to have bacteria in the mouth. Now, all of that goes to baby. So I'll give you a quick statistic why it's so important for prenatal health. So if you drink and smoke while pregnant, you're 3 times more likely to have a low birth weight baby, or worse. Pregnant women who have periodontal disease are 7 times more likely to be born with an early or low birth weight baby, or worse.
Stop. Why? That's incredible.
Because we are putting the bacteria that's in our mouth, in our gums, we eat, we drink, it's all blood, it's all gums, it's all going straight to baby.
Wow. Okay. Fascinating.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So we should be doing 3 dental visits during the year that we are pregnant. So for those 12 months, we should be doing 3 visits. We want to make sure our mouths are healthy. We want to make sure baby's healthy.
Got it. Okay. I put that off because I felt like, oh, I'm so uncomfortable. The last thing I want is anyone in my mouth when I'm pregnant. But that is great to know. It's super important.
I like to put those 2 statistics together so we actually understand we're better off drinking and smoking while pregnant than having an untreated mouth. So now, but hey, we started off on the right foot, right? We did all of our dental visits. We started great. Now baby is born. Well, when baby's born, they're drinking milk, whether it's mommy's milk or in a bottle. Either way is fine. But now what happens is we're putting something in a baby's mouth. Now what happens is there is tongue, there's cheeks, that's sitting in a mouth. So I want you to think about, has anyone ever drank a milkshake, a glass of milk, chocolate milk, and then went straight to bed? If you wake up, do you remember that feeling in your mouth? Well, that's a baby's mouth. But milk is milk. There's still sugar. There's still things that are in there, and it's sitting in a baby's mouth. They don't really have the water that we're drinking throughout the day. They don't really have anything to really clean out that mouth. So we want to clean that mouth.
It's actually, this may be a great time. This is a question that was typed in, and it's along the same line. So let me read this to you.
Okay.
And listeners, if anybody else has questions, please feel free to type them in. You can do it anonymously. You can ask as many questions as you want on the form that we sent you. So she says, my baby is 1 month old and is exclusively breastfed. Do I need to clean his mouth with anything after feeding him to prevent cavities? When do I start cleaning his mouth and using preventative oral health measures? Thanks. Great question.
Perfect. Great, great question, and I love this question. You can begin at day one. So we have something called baby wipes. So what these wipes do, they're bamboo fibers with xylitol. Now, we can introduce xylitol. I'm not going to get into fluoride because that is every region is a little bit different. Every parent is a little bit different with fluoride. Xylitol is a natural derivative. Xylitol is a natural derivative and something I'm a very big proponent. So if you introduce xylitol to a child's mouth, even up to geriatric, you're introducing something that's really going to keep that bacteria at bay, and you're cleaning out the mouth. The bamboo fibers will clean the surface of the gums, clean the cheeks, and clean the tongue. And we want to begin that as soon as possible. So even though it's a 1-month-old baby, you're still giving milk. You're still giving something that has sugar in it, and we don't want that sitting in the mouth.
Marissa, if you don't have – and we'll send people a link to the website because you actually showed me what you're talking about, and they're awesome. But if people are out and about and they don't necessarily have the bamboo fibers, is there something else, a common household, something that they can use?
Yes. So you can use, I would say, I'm not a proponent of washcloth, but if you have sterile gauze at home or gauze, clean out the mouth.
Okay. Just a little light, just rub on the gums.
Just rub on the gums, exactly. We also have other products in the line, which is actually called a finger brush. So it's just something that sits right on the finger. It has awesome little nubbies, and you can just clean out the mouth and you rinse it off underwater. But you want to introduce something into the mouth to help reduce the spread and the growth of bacteria. So xylitol is one of those great proponents of that.
Got it. Okay. And then actually we have another question that's just been typed in. So let me just read this. This is a great question too. This caller says, how do you clean the baby's mouth and how often should I do it? So I know we just talked about doing the gums, but is it like we do twice a day, or is it after every time they nurse or bottle feed? When is it?
I would do it at least twice a day, but it's milk. Milk is high in sugar. So I would clean it out after every feeding. And it could be simple as something as a finger brush, a sterile gauze, bamboo fibers with xylitol. Although we don't want to go over a certain amount for the xylitol. So xylitol wipes I would only use probably twice a day, but a simple gauze and clean out the mouth.
You know, Marissa, it's interesting because when my little guy was a baby, he's 14 now, which I can't even believe. But when he was a baby, I was so nervous to do this with the little baby brush because I thought, oh, he would hate it and it would hurt because I felt like his little gums were so sensitive. And he actually loved it. It was like a little like mouth massage.
Yes.
Absolutely loved it. It can be quite calming.
It is quite calming. I want you to think about something quickly. Remember I said that we're born with all our teeth in our head? That's in their skull. So as they're getting and developing, it's starting to push out. That's why you start seeing that the gums, when they're first born, it almost looks flat. And as they begin to develop, it almost looks like nubs. Well,
yes,
imagine how great it feels to kind of get a massage going in there. So you're not only helping baby and massage those gums that are, I think this happens for babies because they can handle this pain. As an adult, oh, no way. It is painful for babies. And imagine, everything is brand new. And imagine how excruciating it is to you. All your teeth are coming down at the same time in different stages, but they're coming down. So it's great to get something in the mouth. They're going to love it. A finger brush, a baby's first toothbrush, which is something that we have, gauze, anything in that mouth to let them chew on it. That's why babies chew on everything.
So, Marissa, there's a few things I want to get to, and I'm trying to figure out the best order, but I want to get to finding a dentist, because a pediatric dentist, because I think that's important, but I want to table that for a minute. I want to stay on this topic about, we're talking about gauze and first brushes and all that jazz.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there's so many different things on the market, and there's the finger brush, and then there's the little baby toothbrush, and what should parents look for when looking at a toothbrush, and also, I guess then the next question is, and also when should they start the little baby toothpaste?
Okay, so great question. So I'm going to start out with what they should look for. It depends on the stage of the child. Do we have teeth? Do we not have teeth? And we're still cleaning the mouth out when we don't have teeth. So do we have teeth? Is that child ready for a toothbrush? Have they been watching you brush? Because children like to mimic their caregivers. So are they mimicking you with a toothbrush? Then I would go with a toothbrush. I would do something that's soft. I would do something that they're easily to handle in the mouth and manipulate. Now remember, so I'm going to use my line. We have what's called a 360 toothbrush. And once everyone starts to see what it looks like on a website, imagine a toothbrush and the bristles are 360 degrees. So what happens is when we're brushing, a child doesn't notice that we're holding our toothbrush what should be at a 45-degree angle. What they see is us brushing back and forth. So we want to make sure we clean to the gum line and under. So you're going to give them a tool that's going to follow that. So can they brush? Are they mimicking what we do? I would go with a toothbrush. If they're a little bit younger and they can only probably manipulate something that they chew on, well, Baby Buddy has a baby's first toothbrush. It almost looks like a dental tray. If someone thinks about it, it's almost perfectly aligned into a mouth. I would just hand that to a baby and let them chew on it. We don't need toothpaste too young. here in New York, we actually have fluoride in our water, and we're going to be doing our bamboo fibers with xylitol, so we don't need an abrasive right away. An abrasive will be something that we clean the teeth. Are we doing harder foods? Is our menu of options that we're giving child expanded? Then I would start introducing an abrasive.
Okay. So, all right. So let's kind of go through. So baby's first born, pre-teeth, you use a sterile gauze, or you use the bamboo fibers on the baby buddy.
With
xylitol.
Okay. So
then stage two, they start to get little teeth in. Little nubbies, and that varies everyone. It's like with all developmental things. Some kids get them earlier, some kids get them later. But so they get little nubbies, and that's when you start with maybe the little tray or something that is
or
on the market
brush.
That they can
finger
brush.
They can chew on.
They don't have to. Okay, so it's chewy.
Yeah.
So that's stage two. Stage three is they're at the stage where they can handle fine manipulatives. They see us brushing, and they can start brushing themselves, although probably you agree with me that the adult needs to give a little bit of help with that and not let them be fully on their own, but some sort of brush that they can hold on their own, preferably one that can twist 360 because they're not going to be holding it at the right angle, right? So that's
correct.
That's the next stage, right? Okay.
Yes. So
am
well,
I missing anything?
You are not. But I will interject on one little thing. I believe in this is my soapbox at the moment. I believe the sooner we empower children to care for themselves, it's going to be a habit. So I speak from experience. Yes, three children. I hand
three
them
kids,
their
baby.
Toothbrush. Three kids, mind you, twins. So I hand them their toothbrush. They literally go back and forth. And because we have the 360 toothbrush, I'm not worried how they're holding it. And it's not the same sensation as you would think of a standard toothbrush, because they're not just biting on it and pulling the bristles out. They're literally just going back and forth, getting into the angles that they need to get into. And literally all I do is open your mouth. Once they hand me the toothbrush, I rinse it off. I do quickly, because the brush is actually designed to help and have proper angles to the gum line. I do quickly. They rinse with water and spit. And that's it.
Okay.
But nope, we didn't miss anything.
Okay. So then, this question just came in. This is actually next. I was going to just ask you about this. So this caller wants to know about baby toothpaste versus adult toothpaste. When can my child start adult toothpaste? This is a good question because they swallow it when they're – so you need something –
yeah.
Right, I'll let you answer. But
so, okay. So now we're going to get into fluoride or not to fluoride. Now, I know that's the big debate everywhere. So most adult toothpastes have fluoride. They have harsh abrasives, and there's chemicals in there to clean the mouth because we're drinking wine. Some of us, maybe not. We might be drinking soda. We have high acidic drinks like lemonade. We're eating meats. We're eating all sorts of products that perhaps our children are not eating. So I'm not sure every child drinks something different. So if they drink soda, I find that the juice that they drink is highly acidic or watered down. So we have very different needs of the mouth. So a children's toothpaste is going to be less abrasive, not as many chemicals, and we have the option of fluoride and not fluoride. More options, I'll say, because there are options in adult toothpaste as well that don't have fluoride. But now we want to make sure that we're doing psychosomatic triggers for children to introduce a clean and healthy mouth. So for adults, think about a clean mouth. It's a minty, fresh feeling, correct?
Mm-hmm.
That's because our adult toothpaste is flavored mint. So if we pop a mint in our mouth, we think our mouth is flavor. So what we want to do for children is something a little bit different. So when do you begin that transition? I will say once the menu is expanded for a child. So if a child is drinking and eating exactly the same as parents, perhaps that's when we can start all using the same toothpaste. And it all depends on your philosophy. Do you fluoride or not fluoride?
Okay. So now then, the next question, because some of this may come up, the fluoride question, right, at their first dental visit. So let's talk about what should we look for, it's kind of a two-part question. What should we look for when looking for a pediatric dentist, A.
Mm-hmm.
B, when should we schedule our first visit?
I love this question. I'm gonna do it in reverse. When should we schedule our first visit is going to be dependent on the child. So according to the American Dental Academy, it's within 6 months of the first tooth eruption or year one. And what that means is, let's say a child has developed a tooth at 4 months. So by 10 months, you have your first dental visit. But things that we should be looking for in a dentist as well are, do we have a latching issue? Do we have what's commonly referred to as tongue tie? Are we sucking our thumb and developing a high palate? Are the tongue muscles developing? These are things that your dentist can tell you and help you with. So you can go as young as 4 months. And most of the time at 4 months old, it's a free consultation, and you get to see if this dentist is the right one for you. So that's, now I'm going to answer the question of what to look for when looking for a dentist. So you can go to a general dentist, or you can go to a dentist specific for children. So it's usually called a pedodontist, so a pediatric dentist. Why would you choose one over the other? Well, it all depends on the development of the child. Sometimes we have more issues that we want to focus on, or sometimes we're just, you know what, generally our oral care routine is down packed. We don't really need anything specific. Tongue muscles, palate, everything is fine. You can go to a GP if you want to stay within the same dental family. But when choosing a pediatric dentist, I want you to think and look at yourself first. One, how do you like to be spoken to? Some people need facts. Some people need think about this, or analogies. So how do you like to be spoken to? That's number one. So you want to make sure the personality fits with you, and you understand and you feel that communication between the two of you is spot on. Because there's things that we might not be asking, but sometimes it's offered up. We also want to see, okay, are we in a healthy environment? Do we have updated equipment in an office? Is the staff up to date on trends in the market, on products, on equipment? So we want to make sure that x-rays are not being done younger than 4. We want to make sure an apron has a collar. So we're looking for this. We want to make sure it's clean. We want to make sure the staff knows how to speak to us. And you know what? If you do choose a pediatric dentist, we want to make sure that office has an environment that's conducive to your child. Some children don't feel confident in certain environments. So let's make that comfortable for them, because the last thing I want is a child to begrudgingly be sitting in a dental chair with a clenched mouth, and what they need most is proper oral care.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's so interesting hearing you say this, because when I brought my son to his first dentist, it was someone in the city that was recommended to me, mm-hmm. and it was, the office was clean, everybody seemed, you know, fine, and it seemed like it was a busy place, and it like had all the things you would look for. There was mm-hmm. something, and my personality, and it was a woman, and her personality clicked. She was fine. You know, I didn't love her, but I didn't hate her. It was fine. For mm-hmm. whatever reason, my son, who gets along with most people, he could barely speak. He was a, you know, baby, toddler, one, two. I forget when I first brought him, but there was something about her that triggered something in him and made him incredibly anxious. And I knew it right away. And it was, so when you were talking about, you know, how they speak to us, mm-hmm. I would piggyback on that and say how they speak to our child. Because for whatever reason, it's just, my son was so agitated. We walked out. I never went back. I brought him a few months later to another person that was recommended. Absolutely no problem. He was great, enjoyed the whole visit, listened, had no problem going back. But I guess my point is, what you're saying shouldn't be taken lightly, because it's anxiety inducing for us and the child, especially having someone put their hands in your mouth. You have to make sure your child's comfortable, and if they're not comfortable, find someone else. Really,
and do yourself the favor, because sometimes it's a fight. So this is one of the examples I give a lot of caregivers. So we're constantly throughout the day telling children, don't put that in your mouth. Don't put that in your mouth. Don't chew on that.
Yes.
And then somewhere it's like, open your mouth because I have to clean it. It, you know, right. They clench up. You're always telling me
of
not
course.
To open my mouth. Now we take them to this strange place, and they're looking around, and there's this strange person, open your mouth. That is very intrusive to us and to children. I remember my children always told me when they were very young, they were just very curious. Kids always touch you. They touch your face. They look in your ear, open your mouth. And I, having the forethought, thankfully, because I'm such an advocate for this, I was always like, okay, and I opened my mouth. Put their fingers in my mouth. I mean, it didn't always taste great, and it was kind of gross.
Yeah.
But you know what? When they first got into that dental chair, it was one of those things, hey, guys, this is where we're going. This is what they're doing. Because you guys brush your teeth well, we're not going to have a problem. They just want to make sure everything is good and there's no sugar bugs.
Yep.
And it was,
tell
it
your
was
child.
A great.
Yep.
Yeah. Tell your child what is going on. And remember, you know what? Like you were saying before, they need to feel safe and you need to feel safe.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely. You know, I want to circle back. So a caller just typed in a question again, which I think we touched on, but we didn't really do an exact age. And the caller wants to know, when can you introduce baby toothpaste and when should you upgrade to kid toothpaste? So I guess my question too, I know there's a range, but like what about is the age that we can safely think about introducing a kid toothpaste? Is it a year, two years, 5 years?
Yep, I would say about a year. Once you have about four teeth in there. So it's usually between 10 months and a year. So we're going to use something small. Not an adult toothpaste, because like I said, there's more in the adult toothpaste than there is in the child-specific toothpaste. And to transition over to the adult toothpaste, I've been finding that good sweet spot is somewhere around 4 and 5 years old. I would probably say between 5 and 6 to be safe, because that's when you start seeing an expanded palate for children. So we want to clean all that extra stuff that they're eating.
Got it. Okay. And then along those same lines, and this is so, I think, developmental, because this is tricky even for adults, but what about floss?
You know what? I think floss should be done as soon as they have two teeth close together. Reason being, because we want to make sure that, you know what, the sooner we introduce something, the less scary it is. So even if it's something simple as to almost, you're not really getting in there. There's really not that much that we got to get out. But even if you just get in there so they understand the sensation, as long as they have two teeth together, I would begin doing it.
Okay. And doing it for them, obviously, until they can do it by themselves.
Yes. Yes, yes. And that'll probably take a lot longer than, I know for my kids, my 5-year-old daughter, she's one of the twins. She just is very, she's a little bit more in control of her, her body, I'll say. So she can, she uses the flosser picks. So she can use a pickster a lot easier than my boys. Just by the
way,
her development is different. So my boys, they give it to me and they'll say, hey, I have something here, or it's just that time of day, let's floss. And my daughter just sits down, because I'm a little bit neurotic. I make everyone sit down. They sit down in a calm environment in the bathroom, and then everybody just flosses.
Okay. That makes sense. You kind of have to look at where each child's at developmentally. So then, again,
definitely,
along those same lines, you know, the sense of time is so tricky for kids, right? So as an adult, or the dentist will say, hey, brush your teeth for 2 minutes, or, you know, whatever the dentist says. What are your thoughts on getting those little timers so kids can get the sensation of what that time feels like? I know they have special, like, toothbrushes with little timers and all
Yeah, they do. You know what? And it all depends on the child, because I find that children tire of the same thing so quickly. But what they never tire of are silly little songs that mom or dad or whoever is the caregiver. Those silly little songs, happy birthday, anything from some sort of little show that they like, they're usually about 2 minutes anyway. So sing a little song with them, create something, make a habit where the time is created with a conversation as well. So if you can get a timer and it works for you guys, absolutely. A silly song, like I know in hospitals, a happy birthday song is the same amount of time to wash your hands. So if they're singing happy birthday, you are my sunshine, any sort of something that works for that child to keep that time going, absolutely.
Got it. That's a really great idea, actually, because you're right. They get habituated. I found when I have a little timer, they're like over it in 3 days.
Yeah.
I like that. So I want to get to red flags to look for with dental hygiene. But before I do that, I just want to pause and I want to give a big shout out to Baby Buddy again. And also let people know, we'll send you the link, but it's babybuddy.com. And it's a great website, and they have all sorts of great products for everything we're talking about. So I really invite you to go check them out. And also, we'll send you this when we send you the link to this taped call. But Marissa, you guys, can you tell people a little bit about the special deal you're offering all our listeners?
Yes, you are going to get 15% off the entire site. So all of our products, our entire oral care line and our entire baby line. So it's exclusive for you guys, and it's 15% off. And that will be also in the link.
Awesome. Okay. So, and I'll make sure to get that to all of you within the next, I would say, two to three business days. So be on the lookout. It will be in the email that has the link to the taped class. Okay. So let's talk about red flags. Are there things that parents should look for that are a sign of something a little bit more serious going on?
Yes. So one of the things I really want you, and this is why it's so important, when we're shopping for our pediatrician, we should be shopping for our dentist. We need a go-to person to call and talk to and calm us down if we need it. So a few red flags that I want us to think about. Are we developing a palate that's a little high from thumb sucking, finger sucking, perhaps the shape of the pacifier? I find pacifiers now have a great design, so I'm not too worried about that. But it's more the thumb and the finger. Are we walking around with something in our mouth to perhaps fall? So I know most infants and toddlers, when they're walking around with a pacifier in the mouth and they fall, that's trauma to the mouth. So I want us to be thinking about that. I also want to think about when you're cleaning out baby's mouth and you feel something nubby, I want you to just get in there and look. I want to make sure that we're not developing any sores. Babies just have a tendency to put everything in their mouth. So we want to make sure that environment is always clean. But I also want you to look at how the teeth are coming in. Is it something that's genetic? Like my husband and I have gigantic teeth. So when our kids, they're just gigantic. It looks like we have chiclets in the front of our mouth. And I know that I feel so bad when my children's adult teeth come in because it's going to be ridiculous. But their baby teeth, as they came in, I started to notice, wow, you know what? One of their front teeth is exactly the way mine was pre-braces. So, okay, I want to make sure. So are genetically things happening that are common between both parents or whatever the history of the family is? So we want to think about things like that. But I want to give some red flags. So when we do have those teeth, do we have white spots on them? Do we have any sort of little black
dots
on them?
What's a white spot? So
we, here in New York, we have fluoride in our water, and sometimes in the children's toothpaste, there's fluoride. So that's fluorosis. So those are little white spots. It's almost like, think of it as a calcium deposit on the teeth. So perhaps we need to re-examine cut back on a few things. And I want to make sure that the drinks and the candy and the chips and everything like that we're eating, we need to examine that too. Our family, we're chips, where I have a gigantic sweet tooth, so do my kids. But what we do is we make sure that we clean after. So we want to make sure that environment is clean. So are we seeing certain spots on the teeth? Go straight in and make sure we get that cleaning done. I also want to talk about when we're walking around and kids fall everywhere. I know my daughter, when she was about two, she was chasing one of her brothers and she fell forward and she slightly shifted her front right tooth back a little. Now, you would think, oh, well, there was no blood. Well, you need to get that checked because what happens is there's trauma to a baby tooth, which is trauma to an adult tooth underneath. And that could be issues going forward. So we want to make sure that there's no abscess developing, which means, okay, that shift created an open pocket, which now when we're drinking our juice and our chips and everything else like that, we're creating a nice little environment for bacteria and a cyst to form. So we want to make sure we're going to the dentist for anything that we see. Even if it's a quick consult, we need to go in and we need to call. So those are some of the red flags that I've been seeing, and I really want to make a point to that because I know when I go to the park, I see a lot of kids fall, but, oh, shake it off and keep going. There was no blood, but there could be trauma. So I want to make sure that we make that a high priority. White spots, fluorosis on the teeth, any sort of discoloration on the teeth, we want to make sure, we want to just double check that there's nothing else going on subsurface.
Okay. It's so much to think about, but it's, you're right. You got to be on it and start early and just be in tune. I would say just like with everything,
exactly.
With all parenting advice, you're just kind of in tune with what's going on. Doesn't mean you have to freak out, but just aware.
Exactly. Just, yay. You know what? They're cleaning their mouth anyway every day. When you finish off in the mouth, just take a quick look. If they fall and hit their mouth, you know what? Maybe that should be a quick little consult. And you know what? Sometimes I see when parents have, or caregivers, I should say, I apologize, have called an office and the response is, oh, well, that seems to be fine. I would prefer for you to go in and have that looked at by a dental professional. I don't think a phone call, they can't see in the mouth. We don't know what's going on.
Right. Makes sense. So I'm just looking at the time, and we're coming towards the end of our time together. I want to just remind people that we'll be sending a link. There's a special coupon code that we'll be sending you. And, you know, as usual, you can go check out anything that we've gone over product-wise will be on the Baby Buddy website, which we'll send you. I want to make sure I take time to thank Marissa, who I met in person. She's awesome. And as you can all tell, she's very passionate and very knowledgeable and walks the walk, talks the talk. So I want to thank you. Marissa, in our remaining few minutes, anything we missed? I feel like we got through so much, and there were such great questions typed in, so thank you.
We did. I just want to make sure everyone feels confident in the choices that they make, because the last thing you want to do is kind of have a question in the back of your head. Am I doing the right thing? Am I on the right process? I want you to focus on the why and not the how. The how are the tools that we're setting in place right now. The why is the every single day. Why are we brushing our teeth? Because we want a healthy smile. A full set of chiclets in the mouth that are sparkly white doesn't mean a healthy mouth. So, you know, everyone's teeth are different shades. White doesn't mean clean. I want to make sure, and I want to make a point of that, because it's different reflections of light in mouth, different shades. Everything is different. So big white teeth don't mean healthy. So make sure you go to that dental visit, and I want you to understand that, you know what, even there's a slight discoloration, it might not mean anything.
Mm-hmm. I think that's great. That's great advice. Really good advice. Marissa, thank you so much. This was awesome, and you're fabulous, and I hope we can continue these conversations. I think they're important.
Oh, me too. And any other questions, please send them my way. I love talking about this more so than probably I should be.
No, it's great. It's awesome. And yes, any questions, listeners, send them my way. I will make sure Marissa gets them. Be on the lookout for the link and the special code. And thank you all for joining us. And Marissa, thank you.